Welcome to A Shelter in a Time of Storm. My name is Roger Comstock. Our program is designed to try to help people as they deal with the storms in life and whatever form that storm may be. Whether it's a literal storm, as we've tried to help folks who have dealt with tornadoes and hurricanes, or some of the other storms in life, the losses of loved ones and divorce and the disasters that happen in our lives. I'm going to be doing some programs, maybe turning a little bit the opposite direction, maybe a little bit more encouraging, maybe a little bit more positive. These lessons are based on a book written by Brother Alan Bryan. Brother Bryan passed away in 2006, but this book has been around for a long, long time. Some of you may have studied this book in some of your Sunday school classes. It originally was written in 1978 and has been reprinted like 15 times. So that kind of tells you how popular the book has been through the years. But this book, the title, Climbing Happiness Hill, certainly the title is appropriate because it gives a series of suggestions about how we can make our lives better and make our lives more happy and more optimistic, I guess is the word I'm looking for. In the first program that we did, the point of that lesson was to try to encourage us to count our blessings rather than the troubles in our life. We spent the time in that lesson dealing about and talking about how important and how positive that can be, just thinking of the blessings. We even spent some time talking about gave you some suggestions about things that maybe you don't often think about that really are blessings in our life. The second lesson we did was about living one day at a time, not to worry and fret about what might happen tomorrow. And one expression that we used in that lesson, that worry is like paying interest on things that will never happen. And so the Bible teaches us and warns us against worry. And so we need to be careful that we don't live in the past. We need to also be careful that we don't live in the future. Our lesson today is entitled Breaking the Alabaster Box. If you have your Bible handy, I'd like for you to turn to Mark, the 14th chapter, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and we'll begin reading there in just a moment. You know, we don't have every detail from the life of Jesus. As Mr. Bryan tells us in his book, you know, the Apostle John says that the books of the world couldn't contain all the things that Jesus did. So we don't know everything that he did. But we have the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there are some things that are repeated and given us the different perspective. Some events are recorded in all four of those gospel accounts. But there are some events that are only recorded by just one, maybe John, or maybe just Matthew, or Luke, or Mark. So this one is recorded in three different places, three different accounts, Matthew, Mark, and John. And so I'm going to read from the Mark account, but we'll kind of combine some of the things that are details that are found in the other accounts. So read with me, if you would, beginning at Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 3. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? In verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could, and she is become come aforehand to appoint to anoint my body for burying. Pardon my sloppy reading. 3 points I want you to notice from this passage. First of all, that she broke the alabaster box. Second of all, that she did what she could. And third of all, that she did a good work. As Jesus, in this account, is there with his disciples, they witness what has taken place in Mary bringing this alabaster box. John tells us that it was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And as Mary brought this alabaster box, some of you may not be familiar with that term, and nor the contents. The Mark account here says it was spikenard. That sounds sort of strange in our way of thinking, but spikenard would be very similar to our perfume. They would take different spices and things and mix those in certain ways and mix them with oils, maybe olive oil or something, and mix those to where it would make a perfume. It was very sweet smelling, but also was very comforting to the one to whom it was applied. But like our perfume, typically you wouldn't use the whole bottle at one time. And here Mary broke the box, and this alabaster is a stone. And so the very expensive bottles of spikenard or perfume were sealed in an alabaster box, and alabaster was carved out of a stone and thus filled with this expensive perfume, precious as Mark calls it. And so to get the contents of the alabaster box, you had to break it open. And she broke open the box and poured it on Jesus, poured it on his head. You remember a similar account in Luke chapter 7, there in the parable of the creditor, where the woman who was a sinner came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and she did similarly, except she anointed Jesus' head and his feet as she washed his feet with the tears and dried his feet with the hair of her head. This was expensive ointment. The John account tells us that it was worth somewhere around 300 pence. It's my understanding that a pence, in their way of counting money, would have been the equivalent of about a day's wages. And so a $300, if you will, in our term, bottle of perfume, in their day, 300 pence worth, would have been a year's worth of wages. This is a very expensive stuff. It tells us that there was one who spoke up and said, "Why is she doing this? Why is she doing this? Because we could have taken this and the contents and sold this, and we could have helped the poor." It's in the John account. The John explains to us that it was Judas who made this statement. The others apparently sort of agreed because it says that the text says that they were upset with Mary. But interesting, the John account also says Judas was saying these things because he's a thief. He had no intention apparently of feeding the poor with the proceeds from selling this expensive ointment. And Jesus knew that, and he knew Judas and what he was and how he was. And so he says, "Leave her alone. Don't bother her." And he goes on to explain that she has done a good thing and she's done what she could do. First of all, that expression, "she broke the alabaster box," that's the title of our lesson for today. That expression, well, why did she do that? Why did she break the alabaster box? You know, we can express our love and our appreciation to people in a lot of different ways. Different people, depending upon our relationship in life, we show our gratitude, our love for them in a variety of ways. We just recently had some of our high school students graduate from high school, and we give them a gift to show them our appreciation and our love for them because of what they've accomplished in their life. But that gift that you give them might be vastly different than you would give your husband or your wife or one of your children for their birthday gift or a Christmas gift. And so gifts come in all shapes and sizes, I guess you could say. I don't know how Mary acquired this particular bottle of ointment, this alabaster box of ointment. I don't know if she worked extra hard and earned money to pay for it or worked just to get this perfume. I don't know how she got it. But it was her way of expressing her love to Jesus. Same thing with the woman as we talked about earlier in Luke chapter 7. That was her way, and Jesus acknowledges there toward the end of the chapter, Jesus acknowledges that this was her way of expressing her faith and her love and her gratitude to Jesus for the blessings in her life. And so the phrase, to break the alabaster box, it means to maybe do something you haven't done so much in the past, that you make an effort, as this woman did, make a special effort to anoint Jesus. So we need to make a special effort, not to pour an ointment on people, but to express our gratitude, express our love for them. And even though it may not be about breaking open a bottle of expensive perfume, when you express in a genuine way, in sincerity, your love and affection for someone, in essence, you are doing just what is described here in breaking the alabaster box. And so from day to day in your life, as we are making this journey up Happiness Hill, I would encourage you to make a practice. Remember the previous lesson we talked about was about living one day at a time. So today, one day, make a special practice of breaking the alabaster box, telling the people around you, the people you love and appreciate, tell them so. Tell them that you appreciate them and that you love them. You know, as a preacher, I'm blessed to have with a lot of good brethren, good brothers and sisters give us very nice compliments. As we stand at the door Sunday morning, as people are leaving the church building quite frequently, most everyone, as they come out the door, will say something about what a good lesson it was. And we preachers know that sometimes they're just being extra kind to us. We understand that. But we appreciate that. And it's encouraging when people say those good things. But don't reserve those positive things, those statements of appreciation and love, don't reserve them for just Sunday for the preacher. Make a habit, one day at a time, make a habit of telling the people around you that you love them and that you appreciate them. Husbands, tell your wife. Tell your wife how much you love her and you appreciate what she does for you and for your family and the household. Wives, tell your husbands how much you love and appreciate them. When's the last time you told your husband how much you appreciate the work he does and what he does to provide for the family? When's the last time you told your husband how much you appreciate his encouragement and his support of you as a wife? And you children, tell mom and dad how much you love them and appreciate them. Parents, tell your children how much you appreciate them and your love for them. Children don't hear that often enough, I'm afraid, in our lives. And so make a daily practice. Create a habit of breaking the alabaster box, telling people how much you love them and appreciate them. The next statement that I drew your attention to in this passage was, she did what she could. Speaking of Mary and her bringing this ointment, and you remember when Judas criticized her for applying this ointment to Jesus, Jesus said, leave her alone. The poor you have with you always, but you don't have me forever. And he went on to say that she was anointing him for his burial, which would come in a very, very short time as we read through the gospel accounts. But Mary did what she could. I don't know if this was a spur-of-the-moment thing, that she just happened to have some expensive perfume sitting around. I don't know whether she had had it laid back to where, reserving it, holding it until Jesus was in town again so that she could express her love to him. I don't know the details. But the important point is that she told Jesus, or as she expressed her love to Jesus through anointing him with this expensive perfume, that she did what she was able to do. I would ask you the same question. In showing your love and your respect and your gratitude to the people around you, have you done what you can do? Have you done what you're able to do? You don't have to go out and buy expensive gifts. It doesn't have to be a $300 perfume. It doesn't have to be something elaborate and expensive. But it does have to be genuine, and it has to come from your heart. And so do what you can do. It's very gratifying to me when people give me a gift. I certainly appreciate that. But I also appreciate it and when there is heartfelt sentiment that is expressed to me, and maybe how sometimes I hear from you, our listeners, who tell me how one of our programs has really helped you at a difficult time in your life. That's breaking the alabaster box. That's doing what we can do if we just would recognize and practice it daily and do it more often. Practice showering people with those words of praise and love and appreciation. She did what she could. The next statement that I want to draw your attention to is that Jesus said this was a good work. I've mentioned a couple of times in speaking of expressing our gratitude, I've used several different words to define that. I've talked about it being genuine and about it being sincere. You see, that's what makes it a good work. You know, it's a good thing to give a total stranger a gift. It's a good thing to give them some or do some gesture of kindness, maybe just common everyday courtesy and politeness in a public way, maybe holding a door for someone or letting them go ahead of you in the checkout line, whatever it might be. Those are all good things. But it really becomes a special thing, a good thing, when it's done out of a genuineness, out of a love for a person, out of that sincerity. And so not only did she do something that was very expensive, not only did she do what she was able to do, she did a good thing. You know, in the world's picture, in the big picture, as we sometimes say, anointing someone with ointment maybe would pale in comparison to, say, for example, when Jesus raised a person from the dead. When he raised Lazarus from the dead. Raising someone from the dead is a pretty big event. But so was anointing Jesus with this expensive ointment. Not because it was expensive, but because it was genuine and it was sincere. And so she was able to do a good thing. She did what she was able to do. She broke the alabaster box. In doing that, she set an example for us. One statement that was in, I believe it was in the Matthew account, I'm not sure, check me out, it was either in the Matthew account or in the John account. Jesus went on to say that this act that Mary did would go down in history. So here we are, upwards of nearly 2,000 years later, talking about what in everyday life would be somewhat of a somewhat insignificant event. People have given you a lot of gifts, and maybe you've forgotten some of those things that they don't register big in a scale, maybe. But Jesus said to Mary that this thing, this breaking of the alabaster box, this act of love and appreciation that she did, would be handed down through the ages, recorded in God's Word. Our kind deeds, our genuine expressions of love and appreciation won't be recorded in God's Word. They may not be remembered by society in general. They may not put you up on a pedestal and publicly acknowledge what a good person you are. It might even be that the person for whom you do this good deed might not even remember what you've done. But it still remains. It was a good thing. We're not looking for public notoriety. We're not looking to have our name called out on the evening news. That's not what it's about. It's about breaking an old habit of maybe not expressing, not showing our love and our appreciation. It's about breaking that alabaster box and how revolutionary that may be in your life. As we go about this process that we've talked about climbing Happiness Hill. Brother Brian has written a wonderful book, and I encourage you, if you have opportunity, find the book and read it for yourself, and maybe follow along as we go through these lessons. But in the previous lessons, I want to remind you, we've talked about counting our blessings, not dwell on the troubles that may be happening in our life. And our second lesson was about living in today. And we talked about making habits, good habits, and breaking old habits and doing that one day at a time. And so here in today's lesson, breaking the alabaster box. Set a new practice in your life. Practice and one day at a time, find someone in your life that you can express your love toward them. Find someone in your life that you can show your gratitude and your appreciation to them for what they mean to you and what they have done and the positive influence they have been in your life. And so, as we've referred to in these previous lessons, this journey up Happiness Hill, it isn't about simply reaching the pinnacle. It isn't about reaching the top and sitting down and relaxing. It's about a journey. It's about making the changes in our life that are necessary in order to make that trek up Happiness Hill and to make the necessary changes as we go through this journey hand in hand, encouraging one another and practicing some new things in our lives that will provide happiness and enjoyment in our life and in the lives of those around us. Nothing could be greater. No blessing could be greater. No gesture that you could do could ever be greater than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For most of us, that's a hard thing to do, to just to begin that conversation. It's a hard thing to strike up a conversation about someone in their spiritual life. And we see those things, we talk about those things as being very personal, and it's a very hard subject to begin. So let me encourage you. Break the alabaster box. Find someone that you can begin that conversation with. You don't have to convert them today. Oh, that'd be great if you could, but don't think that you have to convert them today. Make it a goal to break the alabaster box by telling them about Jesus Christ, about opening that door, about beginning that conversation. And that is a good thing. And that is doing what you can do for someone else. You show your love for them by telling them of the saving grace that's found in Jesus Christ, by obedience to His Word, by trusting your soul's salvation to Him throughout all eternity. That gospel plan of salvation begins with trusting in God's Word. Have a faith in God's Word. Be willing to open God's Word and look at it and read it and make a necessary application in our lives. We have to be willing to open the book. And when we read, we can come to a faith. And that faith, as that faith grows, we learn other things that God asks us to do. Not just asks, commands that we do. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 13 at verse 3 that we must be willing to repent. There in teaching that concept of repentance, that turnaround, turning away from sin, turning to God, turning away from the devil, turning to the Father. That's repentance. And based on our faith, we have to be willing to confess Jesus as our Lord, make Him the master of our lives. And upon doing that, we'll come to an understanding in Scripture that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. You know, some people tell us that baptism is not essential to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches at all. In fact, the Bible teaches quite clearly, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, you must be baptized. If you want to be a part of the Lord's church, you must be baptized. There in Acts chapter 2, when those people recorded there over 3,000, when they did that very thing, when they were baptized on that day, Pentecost Day, the establishment of the church, that God added them to the church. Same thing true for you and I. We don't join the church. When we're obedient to God's Word, He adds us to His church. Along with that baptism comes the forgiveness of sins, the realization that we're a new creature in Jesus. And see, some of the things we're talking about in these lessons, about counting our blessings as opposed to our troubles, about living in today and taking care of today, and about breaking the alabaster box. It's about making some new things happen in our lives, changing the things in our lives. And so when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we become a new creature. Romans chapter 6 makes it very clear that we're a new creature. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that we're born again, and in doing so, we become a new creature. It's hard for the world to understand that because they don't understand what baptism is intended to be. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul recounts his own conversion. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, there he says that Ananias had told him, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." The implication of that is that he remained in his sin until he was baptized. So in the act of baptism, we bury in water that old dead man of sin, and up through the resurrection, from that watery grave of baptism comes a new man, a new creature, to walk in newness of life, forgiven, ready to begin afresh, ready to begin a new life. It doesn't end there, though. We must be willing to live for Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to live and walk in His light. We have to be willing. Paul would tell the Ephesians, if you're children of light, now walk like children of light. Act like you're a child of light. Light as opposed to darkness. God as opposed to Satan. Living for God as opposed to living for Satan. So act like you're a child of light. Live like a child of light. And show the world the light of Jesus Christ in your life. And so in hearing the Word, believing it, being willing to change our lives in repentance, and confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, being baptized for the remission of our sins, we become a Christian. We put on Jesus in baptism, Galatians chapter 3 and verses 27 and 28. And in doing so, God adds us to His church, and we're among the saved. That's what the Bible teaches. There'll be some contact information at the close of the program, and we appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate your constructive criticism. We appreciate hearing your suggestions for topics we might discuss, and maybe some things that you personally are struggling with. I've appreciated the correspondence I've received, and phone calls and emails and different forms by which you've corresponded to us. And we greatly appreciate your encouragement in continuing this program. And so we pray that you'll have a good day.